الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله. We praise Allah. We seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness to La ilaha illallah. He is alone and has no partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul, and created from it its mate, and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to whom you demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is a raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that he may forgive you of your sins and accept from you your deeds. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a strang, and every strang is in the hellfire. Continuing with our questions and answers, and these are pertaining to the issue of salah. The first question is, if I made my salah at home or another because of a reason, an excuse, or another masjid, and then I came to the masjid and I realized that they have not performed the salah that I performed when they established the salat, do I join the jama'ah or do I sit down? This question, in fact, was not asked, but that I see it so often that I chose to ask this question. I don't know how many times I've come into the masjid to make the salat in the jama'ah with the Muslims, and I find that a brother may be sitting at the back of the masjid. Brothers are sitting in front of the masjid on the porch or on the lawn, and you ask them, why didn't they make salat? And they all say, I already made salat. This happened during the time of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the authentic hadith collected by Imam Malik in his Muwatta, and we'll take a look at this so we can see how we are to act upon this question, or how we are to answer this question, as on the authority of Mihjan, أَنَّهُ كَانَ فِي مَجْلِسٍ مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَأُذِّنَ بِالصَّلَاةِ فَقَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَصَلَّى ثُمَّ رَجَعَ وَمِحْجَنْ فِي مَجْلِسٍ لَمْ يُصَلِّي مَعَهُ فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما منعك أن تصلي مع الناس ألست برجل مسلم فقال بلى يا رسول الله ولكني قد صليت في أهلي فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا جئت فصلي مع الناس وإن كنت قد صليت. And this hadith is also collected by Ibn Khuzaymah in another narration, and we'll mention that, where Mihjan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was in a gathering with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the adhan was called, and then the iqama. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stood up and led the salah. And then when he returned back to the gathering, he saw that Mihjan was in the gathering and he did not make the salah with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "What prevented you from making the salah with the people? Aren't you a Muslim man?" He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah. But I had already made salat at home with my family." So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "When you come," meaning when you come to the masjid, "I command you to make salat with the people, even if you already made salat." Here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making it very clear, whether we made salat or we didn't make salat, when the jama'ah is being established, the salat in jama'ah, that whether you made salat or not, you have to make salat with the Muslims. And we see that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had used a strong language when he said, "Alasta bi rajulin muslim," aren't you a Muslim man? And here the Messenger of Allah sallam is using it because every Muslim is offended if someone questions him, "Aren't you a Muslim?" To say, "Why aren't you doing such and such?" If you say, "Aren't you a Muslim?" then the person would feel bad, and the person would know the severity of the issue. So here the Messenger of Allah ﷺ is showing us, not only must we make the salah with the jama'ah when it's established, but that it's not a small issue or a light matter to miss the jama'ah that is making the salah, even if you already made the salah. Because the Muslims are the ones who establish the salah in the jama'ah. And the other narration of Ibn Khuzaymah, and it's sahih, and it's also authentic, on the authority of Yazid ibn al-Aswad al-Amiri, قال شهدت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حجته قال فصليت معه صلاة الفجر في مسجد الخيف يعني مسجد بالمينا فلما قضى صلاته إذا هو برجلين في آخر القوم ولم يصليا معه فقال علي بهما فأتى بهما ترعد فرائصهما فقال ما منعكما أن تصليا معنا قال يا رسول الله كنا قد صلينا في رحالنا قال فلا تفعل إذا صليتما في رحالكما ثم أتيتما مسجد جماعة فليصليا معهم فإنها لكم نافلة." Here in this narration on Yazid ibn al-Aswad al-Amiri, collected by Ibn Khuzaymah in his Sahih, he said that I witnessed the Hajj with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I made salat with him, Salatul Fajr, in the Masjid al-Khayf, and that is the Masjid at Mina. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished his salat, he saw two men at the back of the people. They didn't make the salat with him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Let me get those two people." And when they came, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put a fear in them. And he said, "What prevented you from making the salat with us?" They said, "Ya Rasulallah, we had already made salat in our tents or in our camp area." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whenever you make the salah in your camp area, and then you come to the masjid, don't sit down again and not make salah with the people, because I command you to make salah with them, because indeed this is a nafilah salah for you." So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told the people, don't come to the jama'ah and sit down. Don't do that if you had already made the salah. But when you made the salat, to make the salat with the people, and we see also in this example where the Prophet ﷺ had got angry and said, "Let me get those two men." And what prevented you from making the salat with the believers? So here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam had used a strong language to show us that whenever the jama'ah salah is being established, that the believers have to make the salah in that jama'ah, whether they made the salah or not. And most of the time we find that we find ourselves in this circumstance when we're traveling. Maybe we had combined our salah or something like that, and then when the jama'ah is established, we say, I combined my salah already. How could you be sitting right over there and the Muslims are making salah, and you're just sitting on the side as if you're not a Muslim? So it's not proper for the believers to be sitting down while the Muslims are up making the salah, except in the circumstances of Salatul Khawf, and maybe one day we'll get into that. The next question is the salah accepted if a person makes salah by himself behind the rows? The rows are filled up, or the person is into whatever he's into, and he makes the salah behind the rows, and he's by himself. Is his salah accepted or not? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this narration on Wabisa, he said, رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا يصلي خلف الصف وحده فأمره أن يعيد الصلاة. And this is collected by Abu Dawood in At-Tirmidhi, where the Messenger of Allah, where Wabisa رضي الله تعالى عنه, he said that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he saw a man making the salah behind the rows by himself, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم commanded him to make his salah over. Here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us a point that would invalidate our salah in the jama'ah, and that is if we made the salah behind the rows by ourselves. After knowing that, the question is going to come up, suppose we're the only one, we can't fit in the rows, what do we do? The ulama, rahimuhumullahu ajma'een, they have come up with many things that the people should do by pulling someone back, squeezing in the row anyway, or even as our Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani said, to go up and stand side by side by the imam, so as to make another row, so as you can be in a row, so you don't have to make the salah by yourself. So the ulama have used these ways in order to make another row or to squeeze in the row of the people, or either with the imam, or to pull someone back to make another row, or try to advise the brothers, akhi, there's nobody back here with me, don't line up with them, let's start another row, because it's not permissible for me to make the salat by myself. At any rate, whoever happens to make the salah by himself behind the row, he has to make his salat up as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had commanded. So we should try to use those ways that the ulama have showed, and some of the ulama are for some of the ways and against others of the ways, and this is from the ijtihad of the ulama. But whatever we do, let's not make the salah behind the row by ourselves, because if we have to, then we have to make up that salah as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had commanded this man to make up the salah in the authentic hadith collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. In the next question, it was asked, is it permissible to make two sunnah raka'ats after Fajr, before the sun rises, if you had missed them before Fajr? We know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had informed us that there are two rak'ahs that we make before Fajr that is better than everything in this whole world. And the question is asked, if we were running late and we just caught the jama'ah and we missed those two rak'ahs that are better than the whole world and everything in it, are we to make those rak'ahs up after Fajr before the sun rises, or should we wait until the sun rises? We have two hadith from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam handling this issue, and the first one is on the authority of Qais ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu, annahu salla ma'a rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam as-subha ولم يكن ركع ركعتي الفجر. فلما سلم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قام فركع ركعة الفجر، ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينظر إليه فلم ينكر ذلك عليه. And this is collected by Ibn Khuzaymah in the Sahih, and this narration is authentic. وقيس بن عمر رضي الله عنه, he said that he made salat with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he didn't make the two rak'ahs before Fajr. So after the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam made the taslim or said assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, he stood up, the man, he stood up and he made the two rak'ahs that he had missed before Salatul Fajr. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was looking at him and he didn't, he didn't say anything against him. He didn't prevent him and he didn't prohibit him from doing that. And if alam yunkir dhalika alayhi, that the Prophet ﷺ didn't say or didn't inform or didn't state that he did something wrong, as we saw in the hadith before, where the man who made the salat behind the road, that the Prophet ﷺ, when he was aware of that, he told him, make your salat over again. Here the Prophet ﷺ saw something taking place and he didn't say anything against it. So here we see from this hadith of Qais ibn Amr that it is permissible to make the salat after the two rak'ahs that we missed before Fajr, to make them up after Fajr, before the sun has risen, as the Prophet ﷺ saw a man doing this and didn't say anything against him. And this is one of the principles that the ulama have established from the principles of this deen, and that is that if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he saw something take place and he didn't say anything against it, then he was letting that thing go, or that thing is permissible to take place, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam would have never let anything go by his eyes that was not permissible and to let it go. We also see that we shouldn't be fooled, and this is a delicate issue, and that is that if something had taken place during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it doesn't necessarily mean that he saw it and didn't say anything against it. So we have to be careful when we're talking about the things that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had practiced. If they practiced it in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he saw that thing and he didn't say anything against it, then that thing is permissible. Rather, the ulama called it from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as opposed to if something happened during the time of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasallam, but there's no indication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew of that thing and agreed with that thing or allowed that thing to happen, then that thing is not attributed to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Firstly, it's not considered among his sunnah. It is attributed to the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasallam, and we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had described them as khayrun nas, as he said khayrun nas qarni in the authentic hadith, that the best generations, that the best of humanity is my generation. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us that we should follow his companions, and that if the companions left something for us to do, that thing would be permissible for us to do, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed us that they were the best of humanity. But we don't call that thing a part of the sunnah, meaning that thing isn't from revelation. That thing is from the ijtihad or from the workings or the practices of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and is different from that which the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had established himself, because the Prophet لا ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى, that he doesn't speak on his own desires, that it's only revelation revealed to him. This difference is a small difference, but there's a difference. That something from the Prophet ﷺ is not like something that's not from the Prophet ﷺ. However, when it comes to practicing that thing, both of them would be permissible or encouraged.
As we would take the example of lining up and starting the row from the middle. Each time you start a row, you would start the row from the middle, where the imam is standing. Then they would start the row and go out to the right and the left, and then start another row going out to the right and the left, and like that. There's no narration on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating that. But the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, they used to recommend that and they used to do that, as has been authentically reported on them. This would show that whoever is confronted with this issue of establishing a new role, then the best thing that the person could do is to do that which the people have come before him, who the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had called the best of humanity. Though it's not like the recommendation of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it's a small difference when it comes to knowing who it's from, but when it comes to the practice that we practice them almost equally, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And we also see this as we clarify, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had said this in the Quran, chapter so and so, verse so and so. We say that the Messenger of Allah has said such and such, collected by this hadith, and it's authentic, sahih or hasan, or like that. We are differentiating between where this information came from. That came from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in his book. That came from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it comes to our practicing, we say we hear and we obey both Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Allah has commanded us to obey Allah and obey the Messenger, though we differentiate where we got that thing from. So here it's the same thing between the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Though in this example of a man making up the two rak'ahs of sunnah before Fajr, right after Fajr, before the sun rises, and this is one of the times where it's prohibited, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do that thing, but he allowed it. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allows something, then that's from his sunnah alayhi salatu wasalam, as he is the one who has established that verdict alayhi salatu wasalam, though the companion practiced it. And I'm saying that we're going to separate this from that which the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that which they did by themselves radiyallahu anhum ajma'in, just to show the people where something had come from. As we know, the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had taught us this, as in the beginning when revelation was being revealed to him, he told the people, do not write down and don't quote me from what I say. Only memorize from me and write down that which I say comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had did this in the beginning of his prophethood so that the people would not confuse the statements of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the statements of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. As the Quran is the speech of Allah, it's not from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his words. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to teach the Muslims that I want you to know that this is from your Lord. Once the Muslims understood that, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed them to write down his hadith, as he is the one to explain the Quran, as Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ in Surah An-Nahl. And we have revealed to you the revelation, the dhikr, so that you could explain to humanity that which was revealed to them. So afterwards, after the Muslims understood the importance of saying this is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam allowed them to write down his hadith. And then of course after they wrote down the hadith and memorized the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, then the companions and the tabi'een began to memorize the statements and the verdicts of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but they kept everything in its proper category so we know where it comes from. Though when it comes to practice, we practice that which was given to us from the Quran and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which was understood and practiced by his companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. However, there is another narration in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man lam yusalli raka'atay al-fajr فَلْيُصَلِّهِمَا بَعْدَمَا تَطْلَعُ الشَّمْسُ. And this hadith is authentic, where the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever did not make the two sunnah rak'ahs before Fajr, then I command him to make those two sunnah rak'ahs after the sun has already risen. Here we see the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he had allowed the person to make those two rak'ahs before the sunrise. Here the Messenger of Allah wasalam, is saying whoever missed them to make them after the sun has risen. And the ulama, of course, because of these two statements, or the statement and the action of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that they take two positions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if one side of the people who said it should be made after the Salatul Fajr, before the sun rises, as opposed to the people who said that it should be made after the sun rises. Allah knows best if either of the two sides are correct. But what we see is that everything that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, everything that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has done, everything that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has affirmed or allowed to take place without saying anything against it, then we are with the statement of our Lord Tabarak wa Ta'ala from Surah Al-Hashr, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. That whatever the Messenger gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits you, leave it. The Prophet ﷺ gave it to us to make it after the sun has risen, and he has given it to us to make it before the sun has risen. So whether we made it immediately after Fajr or before the sun has already rose or afterwards, that all of it has been reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam authentically, and that whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. So it's permissible for us to take both sides, walhamdulillah. The next question, can we continue making the salah after the iqamah has already been made? For example, we know, as we were mentioning, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us that those two rak'ahs before Fajr are better than this whole world and everything in the world. Anyone who knows that, when he has the chance to make it, or he doesn't have the chance to make it, he wants to make it, to get the virtues that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are talking about, of making these two rak'ahs. He comes in and he knows Salatul Fajr is long. That making the Iqamah, the Prophet ﷺ had already established for us that the two rak'ahs of Salatul Fajr are very short. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha in the authentic hadith or the Athar reported that she had said that the Prophet ﷺ used to make it so fast that I wondered, did he even recite Salatul Fatiha? Showing how fast that the Prophet ﷺ used to make these two rak'ahs of Salatul Fajr, the two rak'ahs before Salatul Fajr. And we have in the other narrations that he used to read قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ and قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ in these two rak'ahs. Fajr, as we know that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ had made from his sunnah, as he taught us to make the salat short. Whoever leads the salat, then I command him to make it short. And that Fajr is short, meaning 60 ayats to 100 ayats. 60 ayats to 100 ayats from the medium length ayats. This is what the Prophet ﷺ has established for us from his sunnah, from that which is short. But we know that this is a little long, 60 to 100 ayats. And we say, man, I can knock those two rak'ahs out before Fajr, get my sunnah, and then join the jama'ah, and even catch the first rak'ah of Salatul Fajr, as Salatul Fajr is a little on the longer side, and those two rak'ahs are short. Is it okay for us to knock those two rak'ahs out after the iqamah, or do we have to join the jama'ah? And that's one picture, or that's one way to look at it. And the other way to look at it is, for the rest of the salah, as an example, we have come in, Allahu Akbar, we began making our salah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan. The brother makes the iqamah, we're just getting into our sunnah salah, As the Prophet ﷺ taught us that whoever enters the masjid, that he shouldn't sit down until he makes 2 rak'ahs. We didn't even get a chance to knock those 2 rak'ahs out before the mu'adhin made the iqamah. This is another picture, or this is another way to look at it. In either of the two cases, what should we do when that iqamah is being made? Should we join the jama'ah, or should we finish our 2 sunnah rak'ahs? The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, in the hadith collected by Imam Muslim, he said, إِذَا أُقِيمَتُ الصَّلَاةُ فَلَا صَلَاةَ إِلَّا الْمَكْتُوبَةُ. Once the iqamah for the salah has been made, or is being made, and it could mean either both of them from the Arabic text, then there is no salah except the compulsory salah. So here the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is making it clear for us that once the iqamah has been made, then there's no salah except the compulsory salah. For the salatul fajr, if we came in and the iqamah was being made and we thought we can hurry up and knock it out, it would seem clear that, okay, we can't do that. However, on the second picture, when we had already began, that there is no salah except the obligatory salah, or the compulsory salah, or the fard salah, when the iqamah is being made, we can say to ourselves, I didn't start a salah, I was already in this one. So I'm going to hurry up and finish it out, and then join that. As for that picture, there is the other hadith collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رأى رجلا وقد أقيمت الصلاة يصلي ركعتين فلما انصرف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لاث به الناس فقال له رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصبح أربعا الصبح أربعا. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he had saw a man that when the salat was being established, or the iqamah was being made, that he was making 2 rak'ahs. The Prophet ﷺ, when he finished, he told that person, are you making Fajr 4 rak'ahs? Are you making Fajr 4 rak'ahs? Here we see that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was opposed to that man, as if he's making Fajr 4 rak'ahs. Alright, the iqamah was being established, he was in his salah. So this is after the iqamah of the salat, he's actually making those 2 rak'ahs plus the 2 rak'ahs of fajr. And there's no salat after the iqamah has been established except the compulsory salat, and the salat of fajr is not 4 rak'ahs, it's only 2 rak'ahs. And this will be the same way for dhuhr. Allahu Akbar, then the iqamah was made. Man, let me hurry up and knock this out. Dhuhr also is a little longer, I'll hurry up and finish it and join it. Okay, the iqamah was being made, there's no salat except the compulsory salat, you got 2 plus 4, 6 rak'ahs, and dhuhr is only 4 rak'ahs. Are you making dhuhr 6 rak'ahs? And there are also narrations from the companions of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that they used to beat the people who used to continue making the salat in order to bring them back to the jama'ah, as there are narrations that Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to just drag the people by the hand, come on and let's join the jama'ah. So if we had, if the iqamah is being made and we were in our salah, then we should leave it and come to the jama'ah. If we have not began the salah, we should not begin another salah and then to join the jama'ah. As the Messenger of Allah ﷺ had explained to us, that there is no salah after the iqam has been made except for the maktub salah, or the maktuba salah, or the compulsory salah. The ulama, however, they say, and this is the majority of the ulama, if you're almost finished, I'm in the tashahud, I'm about to make the salam, he makes the iqamah, I might as well go ahead and finish the salah as I'm almost finished. And really, by the time the people stand up and we line up, I would already be in the ranks before the imam said Allahu Akbar for his salah. The scholars of Islam, they say that it's permissible in this case to continue, except for the imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah and those people who agree with him. He said, even if you are at the end of your tashahud, Allahumma barak ala Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim, if you were at the end of your tashahud, that your salah is invalid. And it's no need of continuing, because the Prophet ﷺ said, La salata. There is no salat when the iqama is being made, except the maktuba. When that iqama is being made, where you at? Are you in your compulsory salat or not? Because there's no salat except that compulsory salat. At any rate, this is the verdict of Ibn Hazm, and the other side is the verdict of the ulama. And then we come to the issue of, okay, I'm going to leave my 2 rak'ahs. And we know that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had informed us that the beginning of the salah is the takbir, Allahu Akbar, and the end of the salah is the taslim, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah. When I leave that salah to begin the salah that is compulsory, do I have to make the salams, or is my salah just nullified and I just join the jama'ah? Some of the ulama, they say that it's proper to make the salams, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, as this is ending the salah, and your salah is actually ended at the time of the iqama. You make the salams and you're out of your salah. Others of the ulama, they say whether you made the salam or you didn't make the salam, the Prophet ﷺ said it's no salah. So you're not making anything anyway. At any rate, what seems to be easiest for us, and that which would keep us away from differing and causing confusion among the believers, whether someone made the salam or he didn't make the salam, it would be okay, as some of the ulama say this and some of the ulama say that. If someone was at the end of the salah and he wanted to finish, or he let it go, alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, it would be okay, inshallah ta'ala, on any situation, as some people may see it this way and some people may see it that way, and it wasn't actually defined to the T by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we know that we have been advised in more than enough ayats not to differ with one another. So whether our brothers saw it this way or that way, we should see that there's some room here, and to let the people do as they see fit, as all of it would be okay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. The next question is, what is sujood ash-shukr? What is sujood ash-shukr? Or I think they translated the prostration of thankfulness, or the prostration of giving thanks, or something like that. We have a narration on Abi Bakr, and Abi Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is not Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr is different than Abu Bakr. They are two different companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. At any rate, this one, Abu Bakr, who was not the Khalifa, he said, أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ كَانَ إِذَا جَاءَهُ خَبَرٌ يَسُرُّهُ خَرَّ سَاجِدًا لِلَّهِ. And this is collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi, where Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever good news came to him, he fell down in prostration. And there are many hadith on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam other than this hadith that shows us that whenever good news came to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, that he fell down in prostration thanking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for whatever good news had come to him. This is from the sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that the finest guidance is the guidance of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam is the best example for you. This is a sunnah that the Muslims have almost either forgotten or have left altogether. How many of us, when we hear the good news, I got the job, just fall down in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah. We know how many times that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has tested us with our wealth, our lives, with our families, whatever, and then Allah tabarak wa ta'ala had given us the victory afterwards. When that victory came, or this good news came to us, did we fall down in prostration to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala? The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he established for us the legalness or the prescription of falling down in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever good news has come to us. So this is from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's from those sunnahs that have been forgotten about among the Muslims. And of course, whoever tries to revive the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the times where the people have forgotten about it, of course the reward would be more, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. When it comes to this issue of sujood al-shukr, it was not mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced the Qibla, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made wudu, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Allahu Akbar, or other things in relationship to that, as we know from the salah. But it just said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just fell down in prostration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's sufficient for us in whatever state we are to fall down and prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for allowing us the good news of whatever. The sister agrees to marry you after you have proposed to her, and to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to thank Him. The next question is, what is sujood at-tilawa? Or what is the prostration for the recitation of the Qur'an? We know, or we have seen, that some people, they're reading the Qur'an and then they just prostrate. Boom. And maybe as we are people, alhamdulillah, who have just accepted Islam, that we're not always aware of everything that takes place, and we're still learning our deen, alhamdulillah. Also we see in the salah, the imam is reading the Qur'an, Allahu Akbar, bam, he's right down into prostration. No ruqur. What is the imam doing? Or like one of the brothers had said, I was up there at East Orange and the brothers made Salatul Fajr, 3 raka'ahs. You know, because in any of us could have said it. As the imam is reading, and we know when he finishes recitation, he says Allahu Akbar, and he goes down to rukur, or the bowing position. The imam says Allahu Akbar, bam, he's down in prostration. The people are looking at him, what's wrong? Did he forget the rukur, or what's going on? Both in the salah and outside of the salah, this type of prostration for the recitation of the Qur'an is called the sujood at-tilawa, or the prostration for the recitation of the Qur'an. There are 15 places in the Qur'an, and I had wanted to bring those 15 places and I forgot to write them down, where it has been established for us from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam, that whenever we read one of these ayahs from the Qur'an, that we would prostrate with the sujood of tilawa, as the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam had prostrated for us. Before we bring the hadith from that, I just wanted to make a few points, and that is, firstly, this sujood of tilawa, if one person does it, everyone who hears him and sees him do it can do it along with him. If a person reads it and the person makes prostration and the people that are with him don't want to do it, they have a choice not to do it also. Also, the one who is reading, he has a choice not to do it. All of this has been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that we have the ability to do this thing, the sujood at-tilawa, the prostration for the recitation of the Quran at these 15 places, or we have the option of leaving it. And of course, it's better to do it as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, though he didn't admonish the people for not doing it. Of course, except in the situation where the first time the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam had made that prostration, and it was in Surah An-Najm, and I think that's chapter number 53, chapter of the star, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this was the first time he read the Quran with the prostration to the disbelievers. He read this surah publicly and he prostrated, and everybody prostrated with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. All of humanity and all of the jinn, believer and disbeliever, prostrated with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the hadith is in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, except one man who picked up some dirt and put it on his head. But he wouldn't go down to bow himself. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the one who narrated this incident of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, said, "And I saw that man later die as a kafir." And I saw that man later die as a kafir, or was killed as a kafir, who didn't prostrate with the people who prostrated with the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Also the same thing as we have mentioned of the sujood al-shukr, that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam didn't prescribe that yes, you have to be in wudu when you do this sajdah to tilawa, or that you have to say face the qibla, or some other issues relating to it. And I think they're escaping my mind now, and maybe next week we'll go into a little detail, and I'll try to bring out some more of the narrations on this sujood at-tilawa, or the prostration for reading the Quran. However, these places, they are marked in the Quran, and they have a little masjid symbol, or what you call a masjid symbol, and Allah knows best. You see it in the Arabic, and also in the English, they have that symbol. It kind of looks like a spade? Yeah, something like a spade. Both in the Arabic and the English. And when you see those places in the Quran, 15 places, that these are the places where you can make the sujood at-tilawa. Anyway, we have the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he says, "Sajadna ma'a Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi idha sama'un shaqqat wa iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq." And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. Here Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that we made prostration with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he read the Surah Al-Inshiqaq, and the first ayah is إِذَا السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ, when the heavens are split asunder. And he read it in the verse إِقْرَأْ بِسْمِ رَبِّكَ الَّذِي خَلَقْ, or the beginning of Surah, or the end, excuse me, of Surah Al-Alaq. And this is read in the name of your Lord who created, and that's chapter 90, number 96. And we know that this was the first verses revealed to the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the prostration is at the end of that surah. So for whoever wants to see what that symbol looks like, he can go to chapter number 96, Surah Al-Alaq, or Surah the Clot, C-L-O-T. And he can see what that symbol looks like at the end. Or he can see Surah Al-Inshiqaq, and that's number 84, and he can see an ayah. It's not at the end of that surah. It's ayah number 21. You'll see at that surah that little symbol there, both in the Arabic and in the English. And the English tried to show which are those other places so that the people could, when they're reading the Book of Allah, prostrate at these places. The Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he prostrated, this type of prostration, he used to make a particular dhikr or a particular dua, has been authentically collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and that is the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Sajda wajhi lilladhi khalaqahu wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu bi hawlihi wa quwwatihi fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin." This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, and they have this in, inshallah, in the authentic supplications of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sajda wajhi lilladhi khalaqahu wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu bi hawlihi wa quwwatihi fatabarakallahu ahsanul khaliqin. Here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "My face has prostrated to the one who has created it, wa shaqqa sam'ahu wa basarahu, and has brought out from the face the hearing and the sight by his power and his might. So blessed be Allah
the best of the makers. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made whatever He has made, and He has made our faith to have eyes and ears to hear from. Alhamdulillah. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that سجد وجهه للذي خلقه وشق سمعه وبصره بحوله وقوته فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. There's also a narration where a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "I was dreaming, and the tree prostrated to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the tree said, اللهم اكتب لي بها عندك أجرا وضع عني بها وزرا واجعلها لي عندك ذخرا وتقبلها مني كما تقبلتها من عبدك داود." And this is also collected by Imam al-Tirmidhi, and it's authentic, where the tree that had prostrated said, "O Allah, write down for me by this prostration some reward, or give me some reward for making this prostration to you, and remove from me a burden for making this prostration, and make save this prostration, the reward from this prostration with yourself," referring on Yawm al-Qiyamah, "and to accept this prostration from me the way you have accepted it from your servant, from your slave, Dawood." And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard this, and he allowed this to take place. So this is also from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to say both either this du'a or that du'a. And the ulama say that also the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he used to prostrate, that he would say that which we say normally when we prostrate, and that it wouldn't be any harm if someone says Subhana Rabbil A'la, Subhana Rabbil A'la, Subhana Rabbil A'la, if he prostrated with this sujood at-tilawa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But this is what has been reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam authentically, specifically for this sujood at-tilawa. This is what I've prepared for today's week, for this week. And there were a lot of questions, and I have to just excuse myself from the brothers, as I spent a lot of time trying to find some answers of some of these questions, but really they were difficult to find. And one of the ulama that I keep in close contact with overseas, he's on vacation out of the country, and I have to wait till he returns in order to ask him to help me answer some of these questions. So this is what we wanted to present this week. And inshallah ta'ala, today in Salatul Maghrib, we want to establish the Sajdatul Tilawa, as I'll try to read from the surah that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam read and made the prostration from Suratul Alaq, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. And at the end of it, it will be a sajda. And I had saw Muhammad Jibreel hafizahullah, who had come from Egypt to America to lead some of the salah in Jersey City, and I heard at other places, he had established something that wasn't narrated that I know of from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, but it seems as if it was a good sunnah. It seems as if it was a good sunnah. And that is that he informed the people that in this rak'ah, he's going to read a surah that has a sajda on it. So as to inform the people, and maybe the sisters who are downstairs, they wouldn't see what's going on. Maybe some of us, we have just accepted Islam, we don't realize what's taking place. So as to inform them of what's taking place, so that they would know what to do and not be left in the dark. The reason I say this is a good sunnah, and I didn't say it's a good bid'ah, is because we know that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam has said, "Kullu bid'atin balala, wa kullu balalatin finnaf." That every bid'ah is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. Every type of innovation in this deen is a string, and every string is in the hellfire. So I didn't call it a bid'ah because we can't practice that bid'ah. It's a string, and the string is in the hellfire. And I called it a good sunnah. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had taught us that whoever establishes a sunnah, a good sunnah, and that he would get the reward of establishing that, and the reward of whoever followed him and that which he did. This good sunnah is taking something that has already been established from Islam and kind of encouraging the people to do it. That is, we know that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he made Hajj, and or this was in the conquest of Mecca, excuse me, where the people had entered into Islam in large groups, and people weren't aware of the verdicts of Islam. And the Messenger of Allah had established for us that when we travel and we make our salat, that we shorten our salat, meaning Dhuhr, Asr, and Isha are no longer 4 raka'at, they are only 2 raka'at when we are traveling. And that maybe some of the people who were not traveling would think that the salat had been shortened to 2 raka'at. The Messenger of Allah, when he shortened the salat, he told the people, indeed we are a people who are traveling. As for the people who are resident here, then complete your salat. Meaning complete your salat to 4 raka'at. So here we see that the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, that he would inform the people to make sure that the people knew, so that the people wouldn't act on any ignorance if he felt that the people might not be aware of something. So I saw that Muhammad Jibreel, he was taking advantage of a situation like this, and found that he was in a situation similar to this, and to inform the people so that the people would know. As we are people who are Ajam, and they are the people who are non-Arabs, and we don't understand the Quran, or maybe we haven't memorized much of the Quran, and we haven't learned where are the places when we make the sujood, especially the people in the back rows who can't see. All of they know that when the imam is finished his recitation and he says Allahu Akbar, that he goes into rukur. So inshallah, I try to do this, and hopefully that there's no harm in it, to inform the people who aren't aware that in the first rak'ah of Salatul Maghrib today, inshallah, that we would be reading from the surah Iqra Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, and the last ayat has a sajda, so we'll go down to prostration to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and then we'll come back and to continue the salat as it would normally be continued. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. It's as if I don't have any questions already, but I'll take the other questions. And inshallah ta'ala, I ask Allah to make me stronger next week to tell the people that I have to prepare. Please give me the time. Unfortunately, I haven't been strong enough. I don't know why I haven't been strong enough to tell the people, brothers, I have to prepare. I thought that I tried to inform most of the people that I'm not humbly saying I'm not a scholar, but I'm really saying I'm not a scholar, and I need a lot of time to prepare for my lessons. So that I ask the people that if they have something to say, that they should make sure that it's emergency if they want it to be taken care of right then and there on the spot, and that whenever they have time and I speak to them, that they should try to be considerate and to present their case, and then to let it go so as not to burden me, so that I can prepare for my classes. For jazakallahu khayna. Is it required for women also to join the jama'ah if they have already made the salat and the people in the masjid are making the salat? I guess we can answer this, as this was a clarification of tonight's class, and that is, it applies for both the men, the women, and the children. Whoever has already made the salat and the jama'ah is making the salat, then make the salat. You made the salat in the masjid. You go to the park, the Muslims are picnicking, everybody's having a nice time. You know, maybe the salat is delayed a little bit. And by delayed a little bit, I mean within its time frame, not outside of the time. The salat is delayed a little bit inside of its time. You made the salat at the masjid. You go to the park, they're making the salat. You say, nah, we made the salat with the real jama'ah in the masjid. No, when the people are establishing the Salat, we establish the Salat with them, for fear that the people might say to us that which the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to them, aren't you a Muslim? And we know how we would feel, as I remember telling one of the brothers who thought that he was doing some security, we're making Salat. I was just about to say Allahu Akbar, and I see a brother right in front of me. The masjid was big. He's right in front of me on the side, just standing there. I don't know, I get a little scared or what. I said to the people, is that a Muslim over there? Well, the brother was real offended, like, I'm here to protect you. You got the audacity to ask them, am I a Muslim? So we see how people could be offended by this statement, are you a Muslim? And that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the one who has established this type of questioning for us. And that it's not something personally that I developed myself, but it's from the hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And why shouldn't we question the way that the Messenger of Allah Alayhi Salatu Wasallam questioned? So this goes for everyone, that wherever they're at the Jama'ah and it's establishing the Salat, that they should establish the Salat, men, women, and children alike. What should you do if you make a mistake in Salat? What should you do if you make a mistake in Salat? And this is the issue of sujood as-sahw, and I thought that we would have had time in today's class to present it. But inshallah ta'ala, next week we would handle the sujood as-sahw. Also, I noticed that as we have covered the chapter of tayammum and we have moved on into the salah, that there weren't any questions on tayammum. And that recently a brother had asked me on the issue of tayammum, or I think they call it the dry ablution. And tayammum is easier to remember. That inshallah next week we'll try to take some of the questions on tayammum, and then we'll try to take as many of the questions of the other of the people, and hopefully that next week I'll try to take a manner that is different from today's class and from the other classes, as I was trying to take advantage to highlight some principles of the deen and to show how we understand some hadith and narrations and the difference between the Quran and the Sunnah and the narrations of the companions and how we view this deen and how we answer the questions. But maybe next week, inshallah, I can try to just be brief. Question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, question, answer, and not to add so much so as to cover all of the questions that have come to us as best as we could, even if we have to say, Allahu a'lam la adri. Allah knows best, I don't know. So whatever questions we have until next week, we'll try to handle them. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in knowledge and to increase us in beneficial knowledge and to allow us to benefit from the knowledge that we're increased in. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from asking too many questions and to benefit us with asking questions that would only benefit us. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabina Muhammad.
The 15 places of prostration in the local
Quran. The back, I guess that's why the sister has sent it. She's saying it's back in the Noble Quran, page 1007. So whoever wants to look in the back of the Noble Quran, they can look on page 1007, and he highlights those, and we'll highlight those next week anyway. And this is just time to show that this is only one of the many virtues of the Noble Quran, and that we had spoken, we had a brother that had spoken to the author, Mohsen Khan, and we had wanted to bring him to America for the program in defense of the Noble Quran by the author himself. But he has informed us, as we already know, that he's approaching 80 years old, and that he's an old man, and that his health isn't that good, and that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had told us that whoever has the chance to die in Medina, then let him die in Medina. And with that, who would take the chance on getting on a plane and coming to America, fearing that your health might get bad with some of the questions that the ignorant people may ask him, and blood pressure go up? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him. Blood pressure go up and he died. We know that Maududi rahimahullah, he died in America. Even though they shipped him in 1979 and they shipped his body out, but he had actually died in America. At any rate, the Shaykh, alhamdulillah, Marsal Khan, he had felt confident in us, and he said that the brothers would, inshallah, do justice on the issue, and he gave us the authority to try to handle that issue, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.